partner, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Get the book on our website, saveus.org. Become a partner with us. You can become a partner there. Get your emergency radios and those water purifiers. Many are now getting them. It's really a pleasure to see you responding. We'll be right back with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Doug Vandermeulen, who at one time was right here in the Monterey Bay area and there at the Felton Baptist Church, First Baptist Church of Felton, and of course was our minister there. But he's up in Fargo, North Dakota now, getting over battling the rising of the Red River there. But before we get to that, I just wanted to talk a little bit about what's happening economically to our nation, just so I can forewarn you. Right now, you've seen the market going up, but it is what they call a bear trap. It's to get unsophisticated people into the market. After all, the stocks are going up. You want to get in, you know, before they go up too high so you can make a profit. And understand, this is all manipulated. It's manipulated in effort to get you into the market so that the institutional investors can sell. So you'll get trapped as this market moves down again. The corporate earnings are going to come in very, very soon. On the Standard & Poor's, they're talking about, instead of being about 10 to 1, 8 to 1, which they would be, if these were really valid investment, the Standard & Poor's, price-earnings ratio is going to be on average about 100 to 1 because of the earnings are down so far. So the market's going to drop again. So do not, of course, take chances. You're better off just to sit on the sidelines and get out before it goes down again, and you lose another 50% of whatever you currently have, and you probably already lost 40 or 50% of what you had. And this is unfortunately what happens when you're in a fiat money system, when you have a totally manipulated stock market, manipulated by the Working Group on Financial Markets, known as the Plunge Protection Team. But I want you to go up on the internet and look up the Working Group on Financial Markets and understand that they do manipulate the markets, and it's all crooked. And of course they manipulate the commodity market and the gold market, and so we're in for some real trouble, as you notice why General Motors had gone into bankruptcy, probably the best thing that they could have done for the company, although everybody who owns stocks and bonds is going to get wiped out, and so many of the older people who'd invested in General Motors bonds, because they were paying 8.8% a year, well, they're not going to be paying 8.8% anymore. They're not going to be paying much of anything because they're all going to be gone. And all these elderly people who'd invested in the American way, of course, are going to lose everything because they were not concerned, because our monetary system is the fiat money system. But let's get to our special guest this evening. It's Pastor Doug Vandermeulen from Fargo, North Dakota. Hi, Doug. How are we doing?
Oh, doing well.
Well, now tell us what happened up there. Has the river receded? Are we over the worst?
No. The river crested at about 40.6 feet above flood stage and went down, but we've got our second crest coming. It's on its way back up and scheduled to crest a second time probably around Friday or Saturday. And there's a lot of debate over how high that crest will go, and in part because there's what I call a lot of wildcat factors. There's another river here called the Cheyenne River, and it is at record height, and it's causing all sorts of flooding away from Fargo, but it dumps into the Red River, and exactly how much of that gets into the Red River will affect the how high the Red River goes.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Doug Fantimiller. Well, Doug, were a lot of the people from the town out there fell in sandbags? This is what we saw. Was there a tremendous, a really volunteer effort to try to protect the town?
Oh, it was. It was fantastic. Mayor Wallacher and his crew had really been working for 12 years for this very occasion, and they were very well prepared, and the city turned out in mass. Well over 100,000 people at one time or another were sandbagging or making sandbags or delivering food. It's just been an incredible thing. Hasn't gone perfectly, of course, but it's made me very proud to be from Fargo and very proud to be part of the kind of community up here where almost very spontaneously they would put out a call for volunteers and boom, hundreds of people would show up and be working all night to get a dike built. And
well, now, how bad was the flooding of the city at all? Did the levees hold pretty well?
The levees have held very well, but as I said, there's a second crest coming, and west of us, outside of Fargo, out in the farmlands, my son and I were out driving around doing some goose hunting this weekend, and there are so many country roads that are wiped out, and they have what's called overland flooding, where the banks of the Cheyenne River have crested, and the water just goes right across the fields, and it's houses out there in the rural areas are just totally underwater, roads totally wiped out, people can't get in or out of their homes but by boat. And so the rural areas have been hit real hard, and this weekend could be very devastating for them as everything comes to the second crest. But Fargo itself has done very well, and Mayor Wallacher gets a lot of credit for his plan, and the city, as the people, have worked out really hard to make it happen.
Well, we got wonderful people here in America with this tremendous spirit of cooperation, and if these people really understood what was going on, all across America, why this is the sort of people that might be mobilized to try to take America back, if that's possible, and in God's will and God's plan. Is your church okay? Is your church was it ever in any danger?
Well, yes and no. All of Fargo was in great danger if the dikes hadn't held or if the dikes got crested. We have permanent dikes that are up to 40 feet, and at one point they thought the river crest at 43 feet. So they've put in temporary dikes above and beyond that. But if those hadn't held, the church could have had a lot of problems.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Doug is saying, Pastor Doug Vanderbilt is saying that, of course, they're worried about the river cresting again this week, but he said it was wonderful to see probably up to one time or another 100,000 people out there filling the sandbanks, all working together to build those dikes, which held, and at least the city of Fargo did very well, although the surrounding areas, a lot of flooding, a lot of the people in the farming areas can't get into their homes, roads wiped out, really a devastating thing. Have they had anything like this for many years up there? Is this something rather unique?
Well, it's unique. We had a flood in 1997, 98, and that was considered a 100-year flood. So 12 years later, we got our second 100-year flood. But it was 1897 the last time we had anything like this. So it's unusual, but here we are 12 years later facing it again.
Well, of course, we're seeing a lot of strange weather and other activities, natural disasters, or maybe they're more than natural disasters. Who knows? Maybe God is bringing some judgment on this country. But be that as it may, I'm so glad that Fargo has survived so far, and certainly our prayers will be with you this weekend, and I hope our listeners out across America will pray for your little community, you know, during this coming weekend. If you get through this weekend, do you think things will be all right?
Yeah, this weekend, if we get through that, we should be well on our way to a good time. And the people can be praying for the farmers. Even if we get through this weekend, it's going to be a long time before some of the farmland is dry enough for the farmers to even get in the field. In fact, one man who's part of the agricultural community here was telling me this weekend that there's some fields that they won't even plant this year. It'll just be too muddy, too wet, too long.
Okay, fine. Well, certainly we'll hope that things will work out, and spring should be here before very long, and hopefully things will be looking better. We've had some very, very unusual weather, certainly all across the country this year. Well, what are your thoughts about any of the other things that are occurring today? Do you have any thoughts on the financial situation? Do you have any thoughts upon our international relationships with the Near East and the Middle East? Or do you see anything of significance as far as prophetically the things that are happening today?
Well, I'm certainly, you know, like everyone, deeply concerned about the massive spending that is going on, and the trillions of dollars of debt that we have, and are adding to, depending upon who you listen to, people are talking about how Obama has spent more money already in his first 100 days than all the other presidents combined. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I certainly know for true that we are spending money we don't have, and that deeply concerns me, because I do not believe that our country can survive this financial crisis the way they're handling it.
I think you're absolutely right. You see, we got into the trouble by borrowing and spending, and they're going to try to get out of the problem by borrowing and spending. And you can't borrow and spend your way out of a problem you got into by borrowing and spending. And basically, it looks to me, and this is what I'm getting from a lot of good sources, that the national deficit, the deficit this one year, the year 2009, will be about $2 trillion. Now, we have to understand that it took the United States 200 years to accumulate $1 trillion in deficit from 1789 to 1980 under Jimmy Carter. And, of course, Ronald Reagan really was so critical of Jimmy Carter because, of course, he increased the national debt by $200 billion. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan turned around and increased the national debt $200 billion every year he was in the presidency. But it was always the Democrats' fault. It wasn't his fault. But now we've got Obama in, President Obama. And, of course, there are powerful, I believe, spiritual forces behind Obama. And if you read the occult literature and the communist literature, they will tell you that he is the man. He is the one they've been waiting for. And it's interesting to see the communists and the occultists both talking about this same candidate. He's going to increase the national debt literally $2 trillion, or very close to $2 trillion in one year. And we're going to just destroy America.
Well, and we've got other problems, too, because, like, the Social Security is currently unfunded liabilities in excess of $100 trillion, and Medicare has got the same problem, and you start adding all that up, and if we called in what we owe on Social Security and Medicare right now, we couldn't pay it.
Well, not only that, but because there's so many people who are out of work now, and so they're not paying into Social Security and Medicare, and the government for years has been actually stealing all that money and using it. In other words, they just take the money that comes in, they should be putting into some sort of a trust account. Instead of doing that, they spend it, and they put in bonds that are redeemable by the full faith and credit of the United States. Last year, of course, we're told that the federal deficit was down, I think, to $200 billion, but it was really over $5 trillion if you did account it as we require every corporation to account, something known as the General Accepted Accounting Principles, GAAP. General Accepted Accounting Principles. If we required the federal government to do their accounting as the private corporations are, last year's federal deficit would have been about $5 trillion, and heaven only knows what this one's going to be, but you're right. There's somewhere, well, some people say 60, to, probably 55, 65, a trillion dollars of the national debt at the present time. And, of course, that's greater than the gross domestic product of all the nations of the world.
John Goodman, not the actor, but the president and CEO of the Kelly Wright Fellow on National Center of Policy, writes in a message, or actually in a message he delivered up at Hillsdale College, said that Social Security, to be financially sound, would have to have $100 trillion. That's trillion with a T. A sum, he says, is 6.5 times the size of the entire economy. We don't have the money.
Sure.
And, you know, what happens if you and I go out on a spending spree and we buy houses and trucks and cars and whatever else we want to buy, and we can't pay it, the creditors come and they take it away. Well, we have creditors all around the world now. And where I see it going, to be quite honest with you, is one day China's going to show up and say, we want our assets. And what are we going to give them? We're going to give them California?
Well, I was hoping they'd give them Fargo rather than California, but
nobody
I know. You're
Fargo.
Absolutely
That's
right.
That's the best part about living here. Nobody's going to want us.
But I think you're absolutely right. Certainly the problem is right now we're having to borrow probably in the neighborhood of $3 billion a day simply to pay our debts. And China's not going to keep putting their money over here when they know that right now we're monetizing our debt. In other words, since China and Japan and Saudi Arabia are not buying as many T-bills as they have in the past, the Fed has started simply creating money out of nothing, which of course is totally illogical. Why would you create money out of nothing and then buying up the debt? So that way, of course, we can continue paying our debt. But that's the road to the Weimar Republic. That's the road to Zimbabwe. What happened there? Where inflation eventually got to 186 trillion percent a year. 186 trillion percent a year. And then they just simply did away with the money, started using dollars or South African rand or other things. You can't even, you've got money over there. You've got trillions of dollars. It doesn't do any good. You can't use it. Nobody will accept it. They've done away with the currency system. They've destroyed the nation. And incidentally, that was done by the American State Department. I think it was just an experiment to see what would happen. We financed Mugabe all during these 20, almost 30 years since we installed him there over the objection of the Rhodesian people, both black and white, a mass murderer, and we have financed him in the name of humanitarian aid. Well, I think that perhaps that foretells what lies in store for America, a nation that is totally chaotic, where they have destroyed the value of our currency. And this is what concerns me, Doug. I think they are intentionally doing what they're doing. These are not stupid people, but they have a different worldview, and many of them hate America.
And Obama certainly has made it very clear, from what I was listening to him, and I'm not trying to be mean or accuse him of things, but he's been pretty clear that he doesn't respect the Constitution. And he doesn't respect it. He talked about, prior to even running for president, in some of those interviews he gave in Chicago, how he lamented how the Constitution was too restrictive. Well, you know, it seems to me that the whole point of the Constitution, especially the 10th Amendment, makes it very clear the Constitution was meant to limit government. But he wants government and the Constitution to be rewritten in such a way that there would be, that government would be given more power and more, and you see him doing that. When we're, his nationalization of the banks, of the auto industry, of the insurance industry, for him to be able to fire the CEO of General Motors, this should never have happened. And why the president, or the CEO, rather, of General Motors even agreed to it, I don't understand. But when you have the President of the United States being able to tell people what kind of pensions they can have, what kind of salary they can have, what kind of cars they can make, what kind of cars we can buy, we no longer are living by the Constitution, even in the appearance of a Constitution.
Now we have rule by men rather than, of course, rule by law. And, of course, that's always the road to tyranny. And the tragic thing is that most of our congressmen don't have the courage to speak out. Certainly the media, which is controlled, is not going to speak out. So, of course, those of us who have a small voice here, through the Internet, through shortwave, through radio, through satellite, I can speak out and hope that God will cause people to listen. We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor Doug VanderMeulen. If you have a question for him, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Doug, I agree with everything you say, and I share your concerns. And the question is, how are we going to get people to be concerned? Are people up there in Fargo concerned?
Oh, yeah, they're very concerned up here.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
But we don't seem to have any Thomas Jeffersons or John Adams or George Washingtons or Benjamin Franklins or the other people who wrote our Constitution. We don't seem to have men of that caliber today. And certainly, of course, I don't think there's anything at all wrong with the Constitution. It's simply that we have people in Washington, D.C., who've sworn to uphold the Constitution, which includes the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, which says that all powers not specifically herein given to the United States or reserved to it by the people are to be reserved to these states and to the people. In other words, the federal government can't do anything other than what it's told to do. And there have always been those who wanted a dictatorship, and they're certainly ignoring the Constitution. Mr. Obama has let us know he doesn't believe in the Constitution. He doesn't uphold it. Oh, he swore to uphold it. But, of course, when it was very interesting when Justice Roberts went back to the White House to do the oath again, because, of course, he'd bungled it there at the initial ceremony. The second time, they didn't bother to use a Bible at all. They just stood there, and Obama put up his right hand. I don't know what that meant, because was he swearing to God? He says, we're not a Christian nation. What God was he swearing to? He said, you know, we're not a Christian nation. We're not a Jewish nation. We're not a Muslim nation. You know, and, of course, there are many people who feel at least the foundations of our nation came out of Christianity, not that we were. It depends what you mean by a Christian nation, but, and I know you might disagree with me on this, but I agree with the Constitution, with the Supreme Court that held on a number of occasions that the foundations of this country were built upon the Christian faith historically. And although certainly it would be defining what you mean by a Christian nation, the majority of our people were Christian, and they held very strong Christian beliefs that freedom came from God, and that therefore you could restrict the power of government and men could be free. Oh, that seems to be a dying concept because of taking God and prayer and Ten Commandments out of our schools, and they did that intentionally. In fact, the people who did that came from the Masonic Order because they worship a different God, but nobody's going to tell us that. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But, Doug, I agree with you that the America we have known in the past is not going to exist again.
Well, and I want to make it very clear, in case anyone didn't understand me, I believe in the Constitution. I don't want to see it changed. I think what we've got is this incredible document. The more I read it, the more I reflect on it, the more I think they did a fantastic job. And so when I talked about a constitutional convention, I'm not in any way supportive of that. But when you start having people talk about seceding from the Union or standing up against it, I think we're probably going to end up. I wouldn't be surprised if someone doesn't call for a new constitutional convention in the next few years. I wouldn't be surprised if President Obama himself doesn't call for it. And that's part of what I'm worried about, because we're not obeying our Constitution now, and certainly the values and the attitudes of our people are not what they were in 1787. According to the Rasmussen poll done recently, only 53% of Americans believe that capitalism is superior to socialism. So whatever we come up with is not going to be a good deal. And so I see us in very dangerous situations where we can have a government on the one hand who is, I believe, blatantly ignoring the Constitution, or you can have you can go to a political wrestling match, try to resolve some of these issues, and come up with a new Constitution, which is going to be worse. And so it concerns me. It produces a certain amount of anxiety when, as you pointed out, there are groups out there that are willing to start to challenge and stand up to our government. I'm not sure where that's going. I don't want us not to stand up, But if people really do start to stand up, there's going to be a price to pay. And are we really willing to pay that price?
I think that's a very provocative question. Well, my fear is that we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis. Even here in the mid-coast of California, where you and I have lived, where we lived together for many years, now, of course, gang violence over in Salinas is really getting out of hand. The murders, there seem to be a murder there almost every week, or maybe a couple of murders. People are afraid to speak up, a fear of retaliation. I mean, and of course, that's moving from Salinas towards Watsonville, and from Watsonville, I'm sure it'll move even closer here. I think that a whole country is moving into a period of chaos and crisis, calls for gun control, to disarm the law-abiding citizens so they'll have no means of protection for their families. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Pastor Doug VanderMeulen, who used to do a program on our little radio station, KFER-FM, every Wednesday evening, and those were wonderful days, weren't they, Doug?
Oh, I miss those days more than I have a vocabulary to express. Those were great, and I've always appreciated that you gave me opportunity to do that, so... Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate it as well. But, you know, there's really this, we're seeing an increasing level of violence across our country. And as a result, my son was down at the Outdoor World the other day, a sporting goods store, and he said, you know, they used to have two or three displays of guns there. Now they have one display with a lot of space in between the guns. And my son asked the people there, why don't you have all the guns you're used to? And the fellow said, we can't keep them in stock. As soon as they come in, they go out. And, of course, it was just last night on 60 Minutes when Leslie Stahl did a session on gun shows, how terrible they were selling assault weapons. These are not assault weapons. They're semi-automatic weapons. They're not assault weapons. They put on, you know, suddenly Dianne Feinstein, who wants to take the weapons away from law-abiding people. And Leslie Stahl never mentioned that when Dianne Feinstein was the mayor of San Francisco, she had a gun permit, so she could carry a gun to protect herself. She doesn't want the public to have guns. Of course, she's a member of the Trilateral Commission. None of that is brought out on the 60-minute presentation because they're trying to build public support for gun registration and gun control. And Leslie Stahl looks so incredulous when she says, why, you know that there's... More and more people don't want the government to control weapons, don't want the assault weapons ban reinstated. Why, how could that, I mean, she doesn't say this, but how could it possibly be that the people don't want to register the weapons to stop these attacks in the schools and on college campuses? And
they never do stop. You know, all the gun laws, and they've got thousands of them, most of which they don't enforce. The law never stopped somebody from breaking the law. But I think a couple months back we got on this. I come back and I blame the churches. I blame the churches more than any other thing, more than Obama, more than our tax and spend, you know, Congress, more than our schools. And I think the schools are pathetic and are not teaching civics and are not teaching morality.
Hold that thought, Doug. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this is Pastor Doug VanderMeulen. If you're out there across America, you have a question for Doug. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as I was just talking about this increasing tempo of violence, the fact that more and more Americans sensing something is seriously wrong or buying guns and ammunition today, and I think that's all well and good, but I think the real battle is a battle of ideas. But Doug was just saying that he looks and sees what's going on today, and he blames in large part the Christian church and the Christian ministers. So pick that story. What was your thought there, Doug?
Well, certainly our founding fathers, whether they, you know, and some of them were true believers, others weren't, but whatever their position was, I think that the one thing that is fair to say that they all agreed with and all made quotable statements on is that our system of government and our culture and society could only be sustained as long as the people were a moral people. And the only place that we can have a the only place that can bring about a morality of our people is the churches. And if you want to secularize it a little bit and expand it out and talk about synagogues and whatever, fine. I don't want to have that debate right now. My point is that the churches have to teach, and they have to. They can't waffle. They can't be cowards. Sin is sin. Churches have to be training the parents to be able to train their own children about what is right and what is wrong, what is the will of God, giving them the law of God and the gospel of God together so that they are given not only the knowledge of what is right and wrong, but the moral ability through the gospel of Christ to begin to at least have some type of moral semblance to live out that the will of God. But the churches are cowards. The churches are backing off. And when I say that, I know there's going to be people saying, but I've got a good church. And yes, there are great churches all across America. But the biggest ones, the most influential ones, the ones that have the greatest impact on the greatest number of people are the churches that are causing the biggest problems. The really faithful churches, by and large, are 60, 70 people, 100 people, 200 people. But you get into these large couple thousand churches, members, 2 or 3,000 or more, the rule is those churches are not teaching people the will of God. There are some, again, there's some great examples, I would say, like John MacArthur at Grace Community Church. I probably have 10,000 people there. He's teaching the will of God. But all these other churches, they're entertainment-oriented. They want to come and basically reinforce the self-centered, self-serving, self-aggrandizing, God loves you and wants to make you wealthy and comfortable type of Christianity, and it's totally gutless and impotent to bring people to the kind of moral certitude that they need to be able to stand up and stand against the immoral influences that are pounding on us from every different direction. Pastors have let us down. Churches, Christian schools, Christian seminaries. The vast majority of Christian seminaries now, even conservative ones, don't even stand on the inerrancy and infallibility of the Bible anymore. How can you have an authoritative Word of God for a pastor to preach from in the pulpit if the seminaries are training pastors that, well, the Bible may or may not really be absolutely true? Every time I turn around, I was in a pastor's office not that long ago, and he had a sign on the wall, and this he said, "Preach the gospel, and when all else fails, use words." And I looked at that, and that has got to be the most ungodly, unchristian, unbiblical statement I've ever seen. The gospel, by definition, is news. It has to be proclaimed. Tell me, how can a pastor with a straight face say that the gospel is something that is just lived and not spoken, not proclaimed, not taught? If, you know, what was Jesus doing for the 3 years he was here? He was preaching. He wasn't just walking around showing people how to live a better life. He was preaching the law of God and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." When was the last time you heard a good sermon that called people to repentance? Called Christians to repentance. How's that for a sermon?
Well, I agree with everything you said, Doug, and so that's the big problem today, is that we are not acknowledging that we're all sinners saved by the grace of God, and we've got to be reliant upon our Lord for direction. If we try to do things on our own, we're going to get into all sorts of problems, which is why we got so many problems today, and we have so much divorce in the church, and we have so much, in fact, I have a sort of a basic rule, and that is if anybody talks to me about Christianity and a business deal, I will have nothing to do with them. If somebody wants to talk to me about a business deal, that's fine. Somebody wants to talk to me about Christianity, that's wonderful. You combine the two together, you just avoid them like the plague, because of course you're going to lose your shirt, you can be sure. And there's so many people who are just so dishonest and using Christianity to get ahead, and certainly I believe they've infiltrated many of our seminaries. They've neutralized them. We've got a whole board full of people who want to talk to you, so let's go to Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I agree with what you're saying about the church, but there's another enemy that's, I think, a big enemy. I think it's rampant technology, computer technology. It's obsoleting the printed word. It's causing people to become illiterate and with lacking any analytical ability. The young students that are coming up today in secondary schools and colleges, they lack analytical ability because the computer is really not it doesn't train a person to think. So it's really just a lot of nonsense. What we've done is we've created computers to replace human beings, to do things that we should be doing. Eventually it will replace, it will become our biggest enemy. I think it will. I think technology will become our enemy.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Pat? Doug?
Well, I think Ray has a point that it is too often overlooked. Technology is not neutral. For example, the automobile. The automobile, and I'm all for automobiles. I have some. I use them. I'm thankful for them. But, the automobile has done a lot to undermine the local church and the freeway system. Now, again, I'm thankful for the freeway system. I'm not in any way advocating becoming Amish. But we need to understand with every technological advancement, while it brings about great benefits, there's often unintended consequences that are rarely thought through. And when I say the car and the freeway system has undermined the local church, is that people now are members of churches and they have to drive an hour or two or more to get to the church. And so they never have any relationship. They're not under any under the spiritual authority of the elders or the pastor at that church. There's no spiritual accountability. There's not that networking of relationships and spiritual gifts. And so people become kind of little spiritual lone rangers out there, and they kind of just do their own thing. And that's part of what the problem in the church is. So Ray's point in saying that technology, in his case, the computer, yes, I think the computer is a wonderful tool. I'm thankful for him. However, there's a downside to them, just like there is to every other piece of technology that we have, and people need to wake up and weigh these things. It's like most parents let their kids get on the Internet pretty much at random and just do whatever they want and email and Facebook and all that without really thinking about the consequences of that.
Also, Doug, I think also the Internet has become a purveyor of pornography and...
Well, yeah,
it's just getting awful.
Pornography on the Internet now.
Yeah, it's getting awful. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that there are some people that are obsessed with this idea of merging men with machines, and they are going to build a Singularity Institute in Mountain View, where the old Moffett Field used to be. And NASA's involved in it, and also Sergey Brin from Google. They're all involved in this idea of merging men with machines, which means creating an artificial intelligence, a race of machines to replace people.
I'm sure
obsessed with this.
I think I share your concern, Ray. Yeah. There's a lot to be very concerned about. And, of course, all of this is a direct affront and attack on religious belief.
I would go back again to the churches.
Right.
Because there is nobody telling people what are the moral implications for things. Now, for just because we can technologically do something or medically do something, doesn't mean we ought to be able to do that. But if you don't have a moral restraint built into the sociological conscience of a society, then they will do whatever they can do, and money will drive it, and potentiality for the quote-unquote improvement of mankind in a moral vacuum will drive it. The fact that, for example, the fact that we can do some of these in vitro fertilization things that we're doing. And then you come up with this woman who just had the 8 babies down there in San Diego. You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. But the ability to answer the question, should we, ought we, is a moral question. And that's where the churches have to begin to inform people again to think biblically. The church is the only only organization that can do that. The government shouldn't ever do that.
Doug, I think also the politicians have undermined the church.
Well, I think...
And this previous president that we had has undermined the church.
you're not going to get any argument from me on that.
Hey, we're going to have to let you go, yeah, Ray. Okay. We got Smith calling in from Santa Cruz. Hi, Smith. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I just have a few comments. You know, I couldn't help but hear your conversation while scanning the radio, and, you know, I was really kind of, one of your callers mentioned the fact that, well, socialism becoming more prevalent in America, and your last caller just commented on, well, computer technology, and, well, I would kind of like to comment on the both of them. And what they have in common, I don't know if you're familiar with Ayn Rand and Atlas Shrugged.
Right, certainly. Go ahead.
I guess I am a software developer, and I am Christian, and this is definitely an interesting time, but I think that, you know, the market or the capitalism that we are drives the technology, and companies like Google, you know, they're in China, but they censor what the Chinese read to abide by their laws so that they can, you know, be in their country. So it is really kind of interesting, because when you think about it, it's complete conflict of interest. I mean, here you have a monolithic company that is a global entity, and it's no longer just a U.S. economy, it's a global economy. And for these rules and regulations to work, there needs to be some sort of order, or checks and balances, or something.
Well, I would simply point out, Smith, what you're saying is that Google will compromise their principles because they want to make a profit, because they want to get into the Chinese market. But there should be what they're doing is going along with a totalitarian government that has killed countless tens of millions, if not at least well over 100 million of its own people. But Google will compromise their principles because they want to make the buck. That's what it's about. How would you feel about that, Doug?
Well, again, there's nothing wrong with the computers, nothing wrong with software, and the caller is, I don't see any conflict. He mentioned that he was a Christian and a software writer, and I think that's wonderful, especially if he's writing software for Apple computers. There's nothing inconsistent with Christianity and computers per se. But, as you're pointing out, Google's got some problems with China. Google has to make decisions. Those decisions are business decisions, but business decisions are not amoral. And there's times when a business has to say, yes, we could make a lot of money or we could lose a lot of money, but it's not purely a win or a loss, a gain or a loss that drives us. It's what is right. It's, for example, when England, under a Wilberforce, banned slavery across the entire British Empire, which was extensive, vastly extensive at the time. It cost them dearly economically, but they came to the place of saying, morally, we have to do this, even at the consequence of taking a severe hit economically across the entire kingdom.
Wouldn't it be nice if Google had the courage to do that? What are your thoughts, Smith? We're just about out of time, but I'd like to get what your thoughts are, because I believe as Christians, we have to do what's morally right, not what is financially beneficial. And I actually will tell you that we've had a number of offers to advertise on our programs, and actually we've had people have advertised in our programs. We've had to tell them, we're not going to have you anymore because what you're doing is immoral. And if we are answerable to God, not to the profit line. What are your thoughts on that, Smith?
Well, I completely concur. I guess what I'm getting at, though, is that as our society progresses and as our economy goes down, and as you have these people that are somewhat transient, and in the means that they're not really a citizen, per se, of the United States, but they're more or less a global citizen, they're not really, I mean, they are bound by their own morals, but there's no really checks and balances to keep these things in hand. So in a way, you know, some socialist ideas are probably good, but some are also bad for the economy as well. So I don't know, it's kind of a catch-22. I guess what I'm getting at, though, is that Atlas Shrugged, Ayn Rand specifically, I mean, what happens is if you fall too far into socialism, the bright people ultimately just get fed up with carrying all the weight for all the people who don't work.
You're absolutely right. Hey, we're going to have to let you go, but keep listening to our program.
And as for this idiocracy...
Hold that thought.
Not idiocracy, but I guess what I'm getting at, though, is that people that think that the technology takes away, it's what you do with it. You know, sure, you're going to have some people that sit there and spend 8 hours a day on porn or whatever, but they're never going to make it anywhere. It's realized.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And I agree with you totally, Mark. I agree with you totally. Doug, and we'll look forward to having you with us again sometime real soon.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Good night. God bless. Okay, fine. Well, I hope our listeners enjoyed Pastor Van de Meulen. I always enjoy him, and I certainly miss seeing him and getting together with him on a frequent basis. So anyway, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you agree with me that we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out in a political, ideological and cultural foundation. We hope many of you out there will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And you can do that by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, you can always, of course, go to our website at radioliberty.com if you would like to see a list of all the books we carry. Hard to get books, which we carry because they're so important. And then, of course, the DVDs and the videos and the other products we have, whether long-term food or Berkey products or health products or other things that we think are important for people to have, especially at times like this. We have a great new CD set. It's called Financial Armageddon. Some of our best recent interviews that will help you better to prepare for what lies ahead. My interview with Gerald Celletti and certainly interviews with certainly Bob Chapman and others talking about what's really going on to give you an understanding of the forces that have created the current financial crisis, which I believe is specifically designed to destroy our country. They're not trying to solve the problem. They're trying to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people and bring about a new world order. That is the major thrust of everything going on today. And if you think that we're going to get out of this problem that was brought on by borrowing and spending, by doing more borrowing and spending, you've got to be incredibly naive. They're not trying to stop the problem. They know this isn't going to work, but they don't want you to know that they know this isn't going to work and that their loyalty is not to America, but the internationalist dream of the ancient mystery religions and secret societies. You need to get the DVDs very professionally done, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, going to the background of the secret societies that were here when America was created and exist here today. The Riddles in Stone, the secret architecture of our nation's capital, and the latest production, The Eye of the Phoenix, and it's the story of the emblems on the back of the dollar bill, the occult emblems that were hidden there in plain sight. We see them every day, and we don't recognize them. If you'd like to know about the occult emblems that you see every day, we carry a book called, it's called Occult and Freemasonic Symbols, Occult and Freemasonic Symbols by Kathy O'Brien. If you can't afford it, we have a section on our website on that subject, but the book is really much more inclusive. Of course, we have a great new DVD by Alex Jones, The Obama Deception. That's The Obama Deception. We have new DVD, The Vaccines and Brain Development, because they're destroying the brains of so many of our children with the multiple vaccinations that contain aluminum and mercury. Oh, yes, the mercury is still there. They've lied to you when they took it out of childhood vaccines. They took it out of childhood vaccines, but they left it in vaccines given to children. And half-truth is no better than a lie. They took it out of the childhood disease vaccines, but they left it in vaccines given to children and to pregnant women, so it will continue doing harm. Because there really are people who want to destroy our children. And then, of course, you know, Bill and Melinda Gates and the others are giving the vaccine-laden childhood vaccines to the children over there in Africa, and there's epidemics of autism developing as a direct result of the fact that we're poisoning the minds of those children. You need to get the DVD, Mercury Autism, and the Global Population Agenda, and then we ask you to pray for America. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, hopefully they're going to be the views of Brad Dacus at the Pacific Justice Institute, and we're going to be talking about the attack on Christianity. Because there is an organized attack on Christianity. Time magazine hates Christianity. Newsweek magazine hates Christianity. U.S. News and World Report hate Christianity. The Supreme Court took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our church, out of our schools, because they hate Christianity. That's why they won't allow the nativity scenes anyplace. They want to destroy the Christian foundation of America. We actually are using now, of course, the song God Bless America. Why? Well, very simply because they hate that. When was the last time you turned on the radio and heard a refrain of God Bless America with Kate Smith? This one we're using goes back to the 1940s. Why are we playing it? Because we should love America, but of course we should love certainly the America that was not our government. The government has always been the enemy of the people. And of course our founding fathers created a nation where the power of the central authority was to be limited so the men could be free. And unfortunately, today we have a government that says, oh, we're here to help you. We want to provide for your health. We want to provide for your education. We want to provide for your welfare. But the American people have forgotten that a government can provide whatever you need, must be able to take whatever you have, because government has no money of its own. The only money it has is what it gets from us from taxation, what it can borrow, and we've just about borrowed out, or what it can produce by printing money, by creating money out of nothing, which is what they're doing now, and the process of destroying the life savings of literally everybody listening to this program. Understand that what's going on today is not accidental. There is an intense hatred and animosity towards Christianity, and our guest this evening, Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute, is on the front lines of that battle, of course, defending Christians against persecution in our courts. Brad Dacus, thanks so much for being with us again.
Oh, it's great to be on the program. Thanks.
So why don't you bring us up to date about what's going on? Because you're on the front lines of the legal battle, helping people, you know, really so they can stand up against those who would destroy the Christian foundation of our nation.
Well, a number of things are taking place. One of them is dealing with the Proposition 8, and that is specifically going to bat for all those people who have been blacklisted on the internet simply because they sent in a donation supporting Proposition 8. We at the Pacific Justice Institute, when we heard about this, we were outraged and made a point to contact personally every one of them who are on the internet who are blacklisted, who gave $100 or more to support Prop 8, and pledged to represent them without charge. Well, we have a number of different cases ongoing now in court that we have, where we're representing employees who were fired, wrongfully fired, simply because they were caught supporting Proposition 8.
Now, were these people government employees, or were these people employed by private industry, or both?
Both. One was in a private theater company, so that was a private company. The other was working for the government out of a San Francisco area.
Was that the San Francisco local government or the state government?
Local government.
Local government. So local government goes after you because of your political views. I think that would be a wonderful case to take.
Oh, yeah. And then another one is a nurse in a public hospital in Southern California.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a minute with Brad Dinkins. Go right ahead, Brad.
Oh, yeah. So we've, went to bat for, I'm going back to for that employee as well. And so we're doing that, you know, up and down the state of California. The reason for this, Dr. Stanley, I'm sure you appreciate this, is that we at the Pacific Justice Institute are sort of unique in that we want to make sure that everyone gets help. Because we know that if we leave just one person on the side of the road, one person who's been victimized by this outrageous agenda, then it can have a chilling effect, and the other side prevails, because that's just what they want to do. They want to have a chilling, fearful effect, so in the future, people of faith and Christians will be quiet and silenced and not speak up for what they believe.
Well, okay, now, can employers legally fire somebody because of their views on homosexuality?
No, they can't. They definitely cannot. And unfortunately, some employers were overly zealous and thinking that they were absolutely right, and anyone who thinks differently is a hate monger, so we'll fire them. Well, no, that's called intolerance in the worst way. When you're firing someone simply because they have a standard of beliefs and values and convictions that are higher than yours, there's no, or at least different than yours, there's no reason to fire someone.
And now, do these people actually admit that the reason they fired them was because of their position on Prop 8? In other words, is there any documentation on this? How would you be able to prove that there was malice on these people's parts?
Well, actually, that's the sad thing, is that, I mean, that these employees were so self-righteous in their position that they were open and upfront about it. They said, this is why. And we can't have someone intolerant like you working here because you're supportive of Prop 8. I mean, they were just indignant about their position. And so it's actually, they're very strong cases, and we expect to win.
Now, of course, what can you do? Can you force them to take them back? Can there be a monetary compensation to these people? Because, of course, if they went back to work, it would be extremely intolerable for them. You know, the employer would make their lives miserable.
There would be probably monetary compensation just for that reason. But all the above is possible, depending on the situation and the employee situation. All the above is possible.
All right, fine. Well, how many cases do you actually have at the present time of this type of actually a discrimination against people because, of course, they believe that marriage is for one man and one woman, and they contributed money to Proposition 8?
The exact number, I don't know. I know we've given counsel to many, many people who've had harassment and those kinds of issues. Those that we
hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I was just asking Brad, how many people, how many cases they're going to be able to take to court? Because these are very strong cases, because the employers let it be known that the reason they were hiring them was because, of course, they had supported Proposition 8. And, of course, that would be against the labor laws of the state of California. And whether we agree or not with the labor laws, they use them against our side, why we should certainly use them against them. And then what they're doing is trying to intimidate people. Don't you dare take a stand against the homosexual lifestyle. Well, certainly I have nothing if people want to be homosexuals. I think in a free society they have a right to, but we have a right to tell them that they're going to kill themselves, they're going to kill others, they're spreading disease. That it's not a gay or happy lifestyle, it's a miserable lifestyle if you've ever talked to homosexuals. Quite frankly, as I have, they hate the lifestyle that they're in. They simply are trapped in it. They don't know how to get out of it. And, of course, society is telling, go ahead, do it, despite the fact that the statistics show that 1 in 3 lesbians will get breast carcinoma, much higher than the general population, that the male homosexuals, they will die, the vast majority of them will die, of one or another disease, they'll live a shorter period of time. There really is a conspiracy against homosexuals to kill them off. If you care about them, you tell them what you're doing is wrong. Don't try to tell us, that it's completely normal, because it's not normal. And if we care about you, and that's why we're going to tell you, stop doing what you're doing, because it's an affront to God, and of course it's going to kill you. But be that as it may, Brad is on the front line. Apparently they have a number of cases. People were actually been fired. But Brad has said that they've counseled a number of people who have been discriminated against. What are the forms of discrimination that they used against the people who had the courage to take a stand on Proposition 8?
Well, one thing they do is they'll demote them. They'll harass them in the workplace. Or they'll just outright fire them. And all of those activities are ones for which there's law and to contest it, against harassment, against demotions, against losing your job. And we have over 1,000 volunteer affiliate attorneys nationwide, Dr. Stanley, that we can call upon to handle these matters. Last year, we handled over 4,000 requests for assistance, all without charge. We handled more on the West Coast, for example, more than any other organization in the country. And it's because of this huge attorney network that really makes a difference.
And, of course, I remember many years ago, it was over a decade and a half ago, it was about back in 1993, when I was asked to appear in a film and just describe what the homosexual lifestyle really involved. And they came out with a movie called The Gay Agenda, which was shown to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff, after seeing that DVD or video at that time, said, we are not going to support and allow homosexuality in the military. We're just not going to allow it. And they defied, actually, President Clinton. And, of course, we were targeted. We got over, I think, 250 obscene telephone calls. We went to the FBI. We went to the police. Nothing we could do about it. If that had happened to a homosexual, it would have been a hate crime. If it happened to a Christian, a doctor who just simply described what you'll find in the book, the band played on, written by a man named Randy Schilt, who died of AIDS. But if you read that book and the band played on, all I did was describe what he described as far as the lifestyle was concerned and what it involved. And we were targeted. And I'll tell you what, it was very difficult. Eventually they finally gave up harassing us. But, of course, we couldn't disconnect the telephone because it was the 800 number we used to sell our book through. And they would do this as part of an organized, orchestrated effort. Hundreds of telephone, obscene, vile, obscene telephone calls. So they can make your life pretty miserable, can't they, Brad?
Oh, they really can. And it's really sad because so many who have taken a position on this issue publicly do so because they know what death and destruction this lifestyle brings. It's hard for me to see someone who has true love and true compassion for individuals to simply turn the other way when people are literally shooting themselves in the head through their lifestyle. And that is what the stats show. They have the highest suicide, or a very high suicide rate, high depression. They have a very short lifestyle. They have a high, a very high colon cancer, esophageal cancer, and it takes more than 40 years off their lifespan. And so that's worse than the endless avid chain cigarette smoker. And yet we have campaigns and money to fight cigarette smoking because we want to preserve human life. We want to preserve quality of life. And these individuals need love, and they need compassion, but that love and compassion demands truth, if it's true love and compassion.
Amen to that. And Chris, in fact, I saw the final issue, or the final version of ER, and of course it was very touching, the two-hour final of a program, ER program, but there was a session there about this one homosexual male, homosexual couple who loved one another, and they were going to, one of them was going to die of cancer. And it really gave you the idea that the love and compassion between these two men who were, of course, engaged in the vile practices associated with homosexuality was really a wonderful and touching thing, and your heart really went out to this man who was dying. It was very beautifully portrayed, but it was all part of the media campaign to make us feel that what God says is wrong is perfectly all right. And of course, it's perfectly all right to encourage this lifestyle, but it isn't a lifestyle, it's a death style. And as Brad says, if you carry about homosexuals, you're going to say what you're doing is wrong. We love you in the Lord, and we want to preserve your life if we possibly can. But what you're doing is wrong because God says it's wrong. Well, of course, you say that. Why, Chris, you know, everybody's going to yell and scream, and what right do you have to say what God says? I mean, are you God? Are you going to judge? No, we're not judging. This is what God says, and if he says it, I believe it. Anyway, Brad, what sort of response are you getting from these people? Are they grateful for having somebody to turn to? Because, of course, when they're victims of this targeted discrimination, this must be make them feel very, very defensive, doesn't it?
Oh, it does, and they're very grateful and glad that we are there to represent them, that we're not just looking for just one or two cases to look, you know, nice in a newsletter or some special event, that they know that we're out there to make sure that every single one gets help and representation. That means an awful lot to them, and I know many people and Christians, et cetera, who see our work appreciate that key distinctive element, and we're really glad that God's given us the grace to be able to do that and to help the masses that we do on a regular basis.
All right, fine. And so when will these cases be going to court?
Well, they vary. There's a lot of discovery that has to engage in. We have to get involved in and take care of first. I don't expect any of them to go to court until the summer at the earliest, just because there is a lot of discovery and motions that take place.
All right, fine. Well, I think that this is the only way to deal with it. This is the way they deal with it. I wish we didn't have to go to the courts, but I'm glad you're there. And the Pacific Justice Institute is there to help people who take a moral stand to stand up against the discrimination and the destruction of their livelihood. This is a terrible thing, forcing people out of their jobs simply because they had the courage to say, we think God's word is correct and that marriage has to do with one man, one woman. We see even Rick Warren, the minister, the leader of the Purpose-Driven Church, now is back down. Apparently he did come out and support Proposition 8. Now he's denying that he ever supported Proposition 8. How can you, on one hand, support it, on the other hand, deny you ever supported it? I would think that people might begin to question where he's really coming from.
Yeah, I have to give some leeway to Pastor Rick Warren on this issue, just because I think he mistakenly just simply went too far and trying not to seem like he was, you know, against, you know, this group and hate-filled, so he went too far. Sometimes we as humans do that and overly explain, and that's what he did. I think everyone knows that he was came out and said, no, you know, marriage between one man and one woman, this is what God says, and you can't be a Bible-believing minister of the gospel of Christianity and say nothing, anything less than that. I mean, that's, you either agree with God or you disagree with God, and that's what Proposition 8 was all about. Do you agree with what God says marriage is? So I think what he was trying to say, though, I'm not a spokesman by any means, but I think he was trying to say was that, hey, look, you know, my focus as a church and ministry is not against homosexuals. That's not my focus. Our focus is on the gospel and seeing all people come to Christ. And that's our focus. That's our you know, our reference point. And we want to do everything we can to reach out to everyone, to no matter where they are, and lead them to a wonderful new life in Christ. I think that's where his heart was. I think he just went too far in explaining it. That sounded like he was outright trying to say he had, you know, had nothing to do with property whatsoever. I think he just simply went too far.
All right, fine. Well, what are some of the other cases that you've got at the present time? Because Christianity is under attack increasingly here in the United States.
Oh, I'm telling you, Dr. Stanley, it really is. And, you know, we see this this open hostility. Even the polls, I'll just comment on a poll that was taken recently, showed that, the number of people who call themselves devout atheists or agnostics has more than doubled in this country over the last 10 years. I think it's from 5% to more than 10%, if I remember correctly.
Well, don't you think that's a direct result though of the onslaught in our schools? Certainly, the taking God and prayer out of our schools and you know, making it almost appear ridiculous that anybody would believe in God and teaching evolution. Our schools are one of the major things that's driving people into the atheistic or agnostic position.
Right. And I think it's important also that the number of people, the percentage who are devout in their evangelical or Bible-believing Christian faith is actually increasing as a percentage. So what we see is greater intensity on both sides. And
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Go right ahead, Brad.
And so it's, you know, it's encouraging. These people say, for example, also like the state of California is, you know.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
They suspended him from school, and Brad is going to, of course, to take that case. But this, of course, would happen in San Francisco. And I will tell you that when God's judgment comes on America, I would not want to be living in San Francisco. I just hope, of course, the God's judgment doesn't spread all the way down to coast 70 miles to where we live. But I believe God is going to bring his judgment on this country for what we have tolerated and what the good people of San Francisco have allowed to happen, because they haven't been involved with the other people on the other side are involved. Well, if you have a question for Brad, who's on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle, it's being fought on the legal battlefield, but it is a spiritual battle. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And ladies and gentlemen, there is a conspiracy against God. That is the common denominator of everything going on today. We see it in many manifestations, but that's what it's really about. Pick the story up from there, Brad.
Well, yeah, it's this is a real important case matter, because it's so critical that this boy gets representation. So we filed a lawsuit on his behalf, and we intend to carry it through until it's over. And but it's an important case. If the board faces harassment, you can be assured that we will, we'll file more lawsuits. And unfortunately, with this the kind of hatred and intolerance that's so prevalent in so many of these public schools, parents need to realize that many kids with traditional beliefs and Christian values and perspectives are isolated, they're harassed, they're treated like second-class citizens. And in some school districts, like I said, they do everything but sew a yellow cross to their, to their shirt. I mean, it's that kind of outrageous isolating that takes place that humanity and history has done, that we look back on and say, oh, that's terrible. And yet, to varying degrees, it's taking place today, and it's taking place in public schools. Like, for example, we have the Day of Silence. That should be called the Day of Intimidation, anti-Christian bashing intimidation. Because kids who are not silent, who just talk, the teachers will stare them down, and oftentimes. And so, this year, any teachers that are not teaching but instead are silent that day and try to intimidate other kids, we want those parents who hear about this to contact us at the Pacific Justice Institute, so we can move in against those teachers, because they're violating their obligation to teach, and they should not be paid for those days that they are silent.
Well, now, basically, what happens, I mean, the teacher comes into the room and doesn't say anything, and the students are supposed to sit there silently?
Yeah, oh, exactly. There's one case matter involving a student who went to class, and the kids were talking, and we're not, the kids were, peers were, silent, the teacher was silent. And when she asked a question of the teacher just gave her this evil eye, like, how dare you speak? Do you want to support homosexuality and transsexuality? And, with her eye, staring her down. And so she started crying. And I gave her the dirty eye. She started crying, went to the counselor's office. And the counselor refused to say a word. And just looked at her with the same condescending, condemning look. And so then she called her parents. Her parents came and picked her up. But that's, that is the kind of outrageous behavior from public school counselors, public school teachers. Now, I'm not saying they're all bad, they're all terrible, but we've seen enough of it that we see the trend line. And the trend line is that these institutions are clearly moving in the wrong direction. And the parents who have their kids in public schools need to realize that. I'm not condemning for all parents who have their kids in all public schools, but they need to realize that schools have changed dramatically. And whatever part of the country they are, they need to really check out their schools, check out their teachers, their administrators, their curriculum, and the state statutes, and really find out.
Well, of course, the thing they've infiltrated are Christian schools. We recently had the author of The Shack over there at Monta Vista Christian School, and at one of the largest churches in our community. Here's a man who doesn't believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ, doesn't believe in the validity of the scriptures. He's lecturing at a Christian school in my community, and they've infiltrated many of our Christian schools because, of course, the ultimate goal is the soul. Grasp the soul and destroy the Christian belief of Christian children. So they already control the public schools. Now they're working on the private schools, the Christian schools. And of course, this is why many, many people, I think, are going to have to seriously consider homeschooling. Your child doesn't stand a chance in the public school today. They really don't. If you love them, figure a way of getting them out. And if you put them into a Christian school, be very, very careful that has not been infiltrated as well.
Right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Right now we've got Ray calling from Santa Cruz. Ray, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, I do, concerning this issue of homosexuality in the, in the schools and the way the teachers are handling it. Recently they came out with a movie called Milk, and it deified Harvey Milk. I remember Harvey Milk, I lived in Mountain View for a number of years during that time when Harvey Milk was supervisor. He was not a good man, in my book. And Sean Penn won an Oscar for this.
But the reason he won an Oscar is because it glorified homosexuality.
Yeah.
The people who control Hollywood are all in favor of immorality. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is these kind of films, what they want to do is they want to indoctrinate younger kids, teenagers, into homosexuality. They want to recruit them into homosexuality. I believe that that's the goal of these people in Hollywood. I don't know who they are. I think they're evil people. And I think Harvey Milk was not a good man at all.
All right, fine. Anything else? Do you have any comment at all on what Ray is saying there, Brad?
Well, I never saw the movie, and I don't think I ever will, probably.
I hope it loses money. I hope it loses a lot of money. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's obviously a propaganda piece, trying to, elevate someone as a martyr and so doing create greater sympathy and empathy for their cause. But their cause is distinctly and separate from, say, practicing homosexuals, because people who are compassionate and caring about practicing homosexuals want to reach out to them and with the truth so that they can not have their lives destroyed. Exodus International has over 10,000 members. That's an organization made up of ex-homosexuals, that is people who used to be practicing homosexuality, who realized that they were always a heterosexual and that's who they are, and they've been set free from the control of that orientation, and so not temptation, but the control of the orientation. And
yeah,
many of them are married with children. And I know, in fact, the church I used to attend, we had the worship leader was used to be involved in homosexuality. He has a wife and children, and the assistant pastor the same thing. And so it's been a solid Bible-believing Baptist church. Miracles happen. God changes lives.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Brad Dacus from the Pacific Justice Institute. Our telephone number, if you would like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have Ray on the line from Santa Cruz. But before we get back to Ray, Brad, would you like to get your telephone number out, your website out, and tell people how they can get in touch with the Pacific Justice Institute, which is doing a great job here in California, and Chris has an outreach all across the country. So go right ahead. Why don't you put a plug in for your institution?
Well, you bet. If people would like to, first off, they'd like to get help, counsel, or they'd like to keep up with our cases, whether with our press releases that we send out once a week or our case-focused letters, they should go to our webpage where they can do all that, and it's simply pji.org. That's PJI for Pacific Justice Institute, .org, pji.org. And we encourage people to go there. And also, if they'd like to contact our office, they can do that by contacting us at 916-857-6900, 916-857-6900. And we'd be more than happy to help them. And also, if there's someone out there who says, hey, I've got this issue, I've got these strong temptations, and or they've been in it a while and they have they've really solidified an orientation in this area, they should feel free also to contact us. We'll be happy to refer them to some wonderful ministries of people who've been down that path who can, in love, give them counsel and direction and mentoring and ministry.
And I think that's really so important. The people need help. And they need to redirect, and they need to understand this is a spiritual battle, and there are powerful spiritual forces that are trying to pull them away from God's plan for their life into the, really not a lifestyle, but a death style. Because certainly the homosexuals lose 30 to 40 years from their life. The average homosexual dies. They're certainly in their 30s or 40s. They do not live a normal or healthy life at all, even without AIDS. So our telephone number, if you have a question, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Or you'd like to talk about this conspiracy against God, because this is what it really is. Christianity is on the defensive all across America, and they're using the courts to undermine the very fabric of the beliefs of our people. Ray, do you have a question?
Yeah,
anything
I
else
have
before
one
we
other
let
thing
you go?
To say concerning... Well, San Francisco has always had a history of... It has been a Sodom and Gomorrah for more than 100 years. But Hollywood, they... I've read a lot about it, and Hollywood, they had what they called lavender marriages during the 1940s and 1930s. Many of the big stars were homosexuals, quite a few of them. And including a lot of the women, and it's really kind of, it really tears you up reading about it. But I think what we've done is we've created a sin city, a sin factory in Hollywood, and it's never really gone away. I mean, it's as bad as it ever was. I see no redeeming value in Hollywood. It's all an illusion. The people that are involved in it are, of course, some of the most, corrupt and evil people. I just don't understand it. I think it's something that has polluted our society.
Well,
you know?
Ray, there are a lot of good Christians down there working, and they're trying to have an influence. So, and I will tell you that the Christian films, or those with a Christian theme, make a lot more money. And they're quite willing, however, to put out degrading and pornographic films, even though they lose money, but they're doing it in an effort to actually corrupt our society, because there's an intense hatred of America there. Hey, we're going to have to let you go, but God bless. Thanks so much for calling. And certainly our guest this evening is Brad Dacus, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for Brad, who's on the front lines of this very real battle that's being waged today for the survival of our Christian beliefs in what was once Christian nation, but it's no longer a Christian nation. The president has said we're not a Christian nation. The first president who has ever come forward and said we are not a Christian nation. That is, of course, President Obama, recently in his last week or so. Well, Brad, what about some of the other things that you're involved in there at the Pacific Justice Institute? And certainly the fact that you have almost 1,000 lawyers out across America who will help pro bono is an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, it really is incredible because these are trainees willing to volunteer their time without charge. We don't have to take them to... around the world and Hawaii they're just attorneys who they're not being paid. There's attorneys who want to volunteer their time on a case, as they can, and they make a real difference. They're the army. They're the silver bullet that makes this whole miracle happen in such a effective way in helping people. So we're really excited about that. There's so many challenges. Let me just give it a little on the positive side, though. One thing that we've done at Pacific Justice is, we look at the law and we try to find out how can we positively, proactively, and lovingly address some of these issues. And one thing we've done is what's called a baccalaureate services project. We discovered that legally, baccalaureate services, that's like a church service for graduating seniors. They used to have them on all public high schools, and then they stopped. And after it was perceived that they're going to be sued by the ACLU, so school districts up and down the state and across the country stopped it. Well, we did our research and we found out that no, they're legal, and you can have them on campus, sponsored by the Christian Club on campus. They can put up posters, they can have an outside band, outside speaker, a full-blown baccalaureate service for all graduating seniors, and all it takes is just like, one or two churches to get behind the Christian Club to make it happen, and it's a wonderful outreach opportunity. And you can also even have testimonials of people who've seen their lives changed in a loving, outreaching way, and we're really excited about this. So if people want information about that, they also should contact us. We'll be happy to email them that information on how they can do it.
Well, I was really disturbed of recently when we find out that one of the judges who's been nominated for a federal appellate court jurisdiction was a judge who had actually said that it was illegal to have a prayer to Jesus Christ in a school, but it was perfectly all right to have a prayer to Allah in the school. That certainly would not be establishing religion, but a prayer to Jesus Christ. It would appear that the Christianity is under attack from every point of view. Children can go to school and be forced to do Muslim prayers and dress up in their Arab garb and certainly go through the whole Muslim concept of prayer. But you could never do that with Christianity. Why is that, Brad? That doesn't make sense. It's not consistent.
No, it really is not consistent. We at Pacific Justice Institute have challenged it. We also, for example, we challenged a textbook across the centuries. We had some material changes made in that textbook for seventh graders, but it's still very propaganda-oriented. It doesn't mention how Muhammad had said many wives, how he had a black slave, how he, one of his wives was a young girl that would have been categorized him as a pedophile, prosecuted under U.S. law as a pedophile. How he wasn't a man of peace; he was a man of war and death and bloodshed. Thousands and thousands were killed at his direction, at his hand. It was a very violent man. And so I think people need the truth. Balance. I'm not talking about propaganda either way. Just the raw truth, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever, needs to be accurately conveyed for it to be education. And unfortunately, our children in public schools throughout the United States do not receive an accurate education of Islamic history, and that's a real, real shame.
But the fact that they could actually have prayers to Allah in schools, but not prayers to Jesus Christ, that's something. Is that prevalent at all?
Yeah, and when we see that happening, we challenge that. For example, in San Diego, there was a school. It was a charter school, taxpayer-funded school, where they had outside clericals, Muslim clerics coming in and leading the kids in Islamic prayers. And they had a full room set aside for just the Muslims to go and have this religious services and be led by a Muslim and all that stuff. that they wouldn't allow a room for Jewish kids or for Christian kids or for outsiders. And we challenged them on that, and we just made it very clear. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, and you can't engage in such a selective enforcement or preference towards just Islam. And we had them change their policies on that.
Well, I'm sure they were very, very reluctant. How did they justify their prejudiced support for the Muslim faith and their antagonism towards Christianity, or did they try in the court case to do that?
No, they didn't even really try to do it. We actually got the matter settled before actually filing a lawsuit. In fact, over 90% of the case matters we take on, we get resolved without even filing a lawsuit because we have a very strong reputation and everyone knows that who we are. And so when we say we're going to sue, they know we're going to sue, and they usually quickly try to settle. And this is one of those cases. But make no mistake, this was no accident. This was a concerted effort by the school district to promote it. You know, we're working with another case matter right now. I can't really get the details about, but something very similar to that that we're addressing in a public school where there's a clear bias and towards promoting Islam, and it's unfortunately it's very widespread in some states more than others. California is one of those states where it's very very rampant.
Well, of course, you know, we're going to have the proposition, I believe, A, 1, 2, and 3, something like that, coming up here, where, of course, they want us to, of course, vote for higher income taxes and higher taxes for the schools. And what do you think is going to happen with that? Arnold Schwarzenegger is really campaigning. He says, oh, my goodness, if the people don't back this, you know, the sky's going to fall, you know, there's going to be doom, the oceans are going to swell, California's going to be swept away into the ocean. Terrible things are going to be happening if the people won't vote for these increased taxes to back our educational system. What do you think is going to happen? Are you hearing anything up there?
Well, I know there are many people who are not, I know there are Republicans who are not following their governor, who are very concerned about it. You know, and I think it's an off-year kind of an election kind of a matter. It's not expected to be a very high turnout. There's not a high voter turnout. It's very difficult to pass something that's deemed as being pro-taxation and increasing what would have been increased taxes for 2 years to 4 years. That's very aggravating for many Californians when they realize how hard the economy is struggling out here, and they have, instead of having cuts in government spending, we have even greater burdens put on the taxpayers who are trying to create jobs, and it's economically makes no sense whatsoever.
And of course, the other thing is, of course, they've got so much, you know, pork up there. You know, you have been in the legislature for 4 or 5 years, and you get voted out of office. Why, you get a nice fancy job, $150,000 a year, attend one or two meetings a year. You know, they have to Arnold's credit, he tried to get these things done away with, but he couldn't. Why, he put a lot of the people he wanted to give money to onto these commissions. These are wrong. You know, there's so much they can do, and certainly you do not need small class sizes. You can teach with large classes, 50 children in a class if you really wanted to. What they're doing is try to, of course, to spend us into oblivion, and what the only recourse we have is to vote against, you know, money. If we take the money away from government, government might shrivel up and might even become efficient, might even quit being anti-Christian.
Oh, you're right. What was really so atrocious I found was how President Obama, in his big stimulus package, more than $200 billion of that was just being given to the states to help with their budget deficits. So instead of forcing the states to be responsible and shrink their deficits to where they should be, they were all this increased government debt is being incurred just for the purpose, the short-term fix of keeping state governments from shrinking down to the size that they should be, that their economies will, in the long run, permit. It's very irresponsible, and it's going to have it's going to be just make things harder in the long term for long term recovery.
Well, you know, one of the most amazing things to me, and you correct me if I'm wrong in this, but yeah, it seems to me that when Arnold Schwarzenegger became the governor of the state of California, you know, that our state budget was $94-95 billion. Now that Arnold is in there, you know, in favor of small government, the state budget's up to about $140 billion, about almost a 40% increase in spending in a period of what, 6 years he's been there? How could that possibly be?
Oh, I know. It's been very, very frustrating and aggravating to see how much the state government has grown. The financial budget crisis in California, without question, is not one of an absence of revenue. No, the real crisis is the growth of government. If the state of California had just grown at an inflation-adjusted rate since Schwarzenegger came in office, we wouldn't have this crisis. We wouldn't have what we're dealing with. It's because state government has grown and grown. We've used more debt to make it possible instead of cutting spending. And I wish we just had more Tom McClintocks in Sacramento to really crack down on much of this abuse and spending.
Well, because we don't even have any Tom McClintocks there now, do we? Didn't Tom get to be a congressman?
Yeah, no, he's now in Congress, but I mean, with that kind of a mindset, which demands fiscal responsibility, we just don't see that like we used to, and they're definitely outnumbered.
Well, I was really proud of the Republicans, senators and assemblymen for holding out. And, of course, you know, they were betrayed by Abel Maldonado, who, after talking to the governor, stabbed all of his fellow Republicans in the back. And I'm sure he's going to get all sorts of behind-the-scenes rewards for betraying the people and going along with the increase in taxation. So what's the attitude up there towards Abel Maldonado, do you know?
Well, the overall majority of Republicans are outraged. They want to make an example of him, and hopefully this will be a lesson that Republicans will learn, that when they're involved in the caucuses and negotiating, they have to remember who sent them there. And however late the night it may be and however much pressure may be applied, if they cave in, there'll be a price to be paid by those who are holding them accountable, by the constituents, or hold them accountable, and that's exactly what we're going to see in the end. I would not be surprised if we saw all three of those who caved in removed from office one way or the other in the not-too-distant future.
And, of course, Abel Maldonado was firmly supported by our own local senator, Bruce McPherson. Fortunately, he's back here in Santa Cruz and no longer up there in Sacramento, pushing ever bigger government. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Brad Dacus. We'll be right back. Well, Brad, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and we'd love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family. Certainly, we want to mention we have a great new 4-CD set. It's called Financial Armageddon. It's an update with recent interviews we've done, which we think are important for you to understand what lies ahead, because we are moving into a period of chaos and crisis. And the America that you've known and loved doesn't exist anymore, and short of a revival in this country that will change the hearts of our people, why the America we've known is not going to exist in the future. We've got a great talk I gave. It was given about 3 or 4 years ago, called Financial Tsunami, and there's a syllabus that goes with that, and everything we talk about is coming to pass today. The next shoe to drop, of course, will be, of course, all the prime mortgages that are going to go down. There's so many people who took mortgages very legitimately, but as they lose their jobs, their homes will go into foreclosure. And then, of course, the derivatives, somewhere between $550 trillion and $1.25 quadrillion in derivatives. But don't you worry, the taxpayers are going to pick that up. I don't know where the money's coming from, but we're told, of course, those banks are just too big to fall, and so we're going to finance them, even though it'll take every bit of money that you and your children, your grandchildren will ever make. We're not going to let the big bankers who created the problem suffer just one little bit. They'll continue getting their bonuses, and you and I will continue picking up the tab for it. We've already given, certainly almost $25 billion to Goldman Sachs between the TARP funds and of course, the recent AIG transfer of taxpayer money to AIG, and they know exactly what they're doing. The man who arranged it was Henry Paulson, who used to be the CEO of Goldman Sachs. And when he was Secretary of the Treasury, he said, AIG is too big to fall because they've got to give money to my corporation that I've got the stock in it. Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Paulson, made almost $800 million working for Goldman Sachs. A great humanitarian who gave up a job, paying him up between $35 and $45 million a year to take a job for a paltry $180,000 as Secretary of the Treasury. What a wonderful idealist. And now he's using a big shovel to shovel your money to Goldman Sachs, which he still has stock in. Some people might think that there is a conflict of interest here and he ought to be tried, but you can be sure nothing's going to happen. We have a wonderful book. It's called The Coming Battle, written by Mr. Wahlberg in 1889, telling other bankers we're eventually going to take our freedom and our money. We have the book The Money Creators. So that's The Coming Battle and then The Money Creators by Gertrude Krugen. It was actively suppressed for many years. We have that, 1935. We've got a Financial Tsunami syllabus. Got great information that you need to have. We have the book The Creature from Jekyll Island. We have the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. We have the book, Trilateralists Over Washington. You need to understand who's running Washington, D.C. today. According to Barry Goldwater in his book With No Apologies, the Trilateral Commission's purpose was to take over financial control of our government. And since the Carter administration up to the present, excluding the current administration, every president and or vice president of the United States has been a member of the Trilateral Commission. There's only 85 members, North American citizens, American citizens. Do you really think that happened by accident? You need to get the book Fiat Money Inflation in France. You need to get our pamphlets on the history of money, and, of course, the financial meltdown. But let me suggest most strongly right now, of course, our talk on, pardon me, our four-tape set, a four-CD set on the financial Armageddon. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.